Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Amen. All right. Well, the beginning of this series is going to be called Power of Blessing in Unity. Yay! Right? And I knew that would be the response to this because that was my response to it when I saw it. I was like, you want me to what? Like, what? And he goes, you've got to get back to some things. I need to teach you and teach the church why this is so important to me. And so I said, sure, Holy Spirit, teach me. So I've been on this journey for a couple of weeks, just dabbing into his word and honestly being tested in things and being tried in places and seeing where God needs me to be. And so I'm not teaching this to tell you. I'm teaching this to take you and to put into your heart so you can grab it. And so hopefully today you know that the word is for you. This is not the word for the girl that you wish was here today and that has hurt you. This is not a word for the girl right next to you or the husband that you wish would come to church. This is for you today. And so take everything that God wants to give you and get ready because it's going to be rich, this series. And so Psalms 133, turn to Psalms 133 with me. I love this verse. Sorry, I had to use my computer because my kids use my iPad, which I normally use, and they burned it out. So right when you go looking for your stuff. You know, has anybody else lived that life but me? So Carter actually came over and I opened my iPad and there was Roadblocks, Carter's game on my... I love it. Okay, Psalms 133. It says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down the edge to his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. You think of this verse and you're like, okay, cool. Like, God wants us to stay connected. God wants us to be unified. This is what God wants, and there's blessing in it. But there's so much more to language that sometimes I think we can read through scriptures, right? All of us can, and we just whiz by it, and we don't see what God is really trying to say. So we're going to dissect what God is saying. Number one, he starts the verse out with, behold. Behold brings attention to something. You know, when I want to do something, if I make a joke in my house when nobody's listening to me, I'm like, behold, dinner is ready. And it's like the only time they pay attention because that is a word we don't use in our everyday, right? So like if no one is paying attention to you, try it. Because the word carries authority, believe it or not. It commands attention for something in that time. It deserves an admiration and a respect, the word behold. God is getting our attention with this verse. He's starting out loud. He's starting out ready to go. He's starting out with like at the gate and the gate is being opened and he's saying, behold. I love that God loves us so much that he puts an emphasis on things. And then it says, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. I don't know about you, but those words, good and pleasant, are words I want in my life. Those are words I want in my vocabulary. Those are words I want in the atmosphere around me. Those are words I want in the influences that are surrounded with me and who I influence. Good and pleasant. So God is saying, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. Who are brethren? We no longer talk like this. We don't say, oh, hello, brethren. We don't. But God is saying, brethren is a saint. We've learned at our conference what a saint is, and that is you, beautiful daughter of the Most High God. Saints are people that said yes to God, asked him to come into their heart and be the Lord and Savior of their life, that live their life according to what he says, not according to what they say. A saint is God's child. A saint is God's holy one. A saint is God's chosen one. A saint is somebody who is God's anointed. And see, that is who he's referring to. So in these scriptures, God is getting our attention. He's pouring out blessing upon us, and then he's addressing his children. He's not talking to the unsaved. He's not talking to the ones that said yes to God and walked away. He is talking to those that are paying attention and ready to hear from the Father's voice and know that with that hearing and with that receiving from him, I'm going to reap a blessing from it. See, God loves you so much that he's grabbing our attention. He says in this verse that brethren, saints, I love this. Behold how good and how pleasant it for brethren to dwell together in unity. Dwelling together, that seems really odd in our generation. Isn't it hard to get people together? I know that like our schedule gets so packed, and then I am learning in my 40s that I only have so much capacity. Like, I tap out around a certain time at night now, and there are certain amounts of things I can do on one day without me getting crabby and my mouth overtaking my flesh, like overtaking the spiritual side of Jess, right? And so to be together, I'm learning like, okay, what are my capacities? What are my limits? Where am I stretching? And I'm not going to be good at it, but trying to get everyone together is crazy. And so we have family time together. And when we have our family nights, mom is trying to gather everyone. And so she used to just call me, and then I was the mouth of the South. And so I would just call everyone else. But you know, I got like judged for being the mouth of the South. So guess what? Don't tell me anymore because I ain't saying nothing. Like, you all can figure out if it's family night on your own. And so now poor mom has to call everyone. And she's like, are you coming? Is anyone coming? Are you guys coming? Why? Because she's trying to bring us together and she's trying to put food on the table and needs to know how much food to put on a table, which is really annoying when you don't respond to people. So if you're one of those, you need to respond so they know how much food to buy. All right. And so she's gathering, but I believe that God is asking that of the church. I need you to gather. You're separating. You're changing your patterns in life to where you're not gathering anymore. This is not healthy for you. Because with separation comes a lot of things that you wonder what happened, but I'll tell you, it started with the separation. And God is saying, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. We're going to stay there. We're not going to go any further with this. I believe that dwelling together, we see this in the church of Christ, right? We see churches dividing over things. Right now, I just heard that the United Methodists just split because there's a version that's going to that you can be gay and saved, and there's the ones going, no, that is unscriptural. We will not be associated with you. I believe that's what will determine whether you're really Christian or not, honestly, because you have to stand on what the word says and not what people say and what they've twisted scripture to say. God is clear on these things. Doesn't mean we don't love them. Does not mean we don't love them. But God does command certain things. And he is not asking us to, he's not saying, I'm going to conform to you. Get it. I'm God. You will conform to me. And if you want the benefit and the blessing of me, sin cannot be around me. And that's what God calls sin, right? So we see churches dividing over these things. We see it I see it as a pastor. Well, this church speaks in tongues and this one doesn't. We see it in the body of Christ. Well, this one believes in healing and this one's saying, if it's your will. Well, let me just tell you, this church right here believes in healing, and we see it only in the scripture that it is God's will to heal. So we can pray for that. You see, churches divide over these things. How about family situations? Ooh, don't go there, Pastor Jess. Don't go there. We can have the feud of all feuds, right? I don't know about you guys, but our family is pretty intense. Like, we're passionate. We grew up with two passionate parents that are passionate on two different ends. And so the kids are just as crazy, right? So I'm a little crazy. My brother's a little crazy. So when we get into it, we go for it, man. But then afterwards, we make up and we love each other and we're stronger after it. You know, family can do that, right? Family can forgive what others don't forgive. Family can work through things that others don't work through. But we see the division. We see the enemy working to rip marriages apart and rip families apart, rip mother from daughter and brother from sister. And how he does that, he just gets in and he begins to separate because of disunity. You see, we see it in friendships. How many friendships have you had and how many have you lost? How many things have been done? And you're like, oh, don't go there. I still have not wrote my breaking free letter. Listen, God is at work, and if you guys are Christians, then you don't have the right to not make it right. It may not be the same, but you don't have the right. Because if you're Christians, God is saying, you are sisters, you are sister and brother, or whatever your friendships are. God is saying, you are Christians in the body of Christ. You need to stay united because a united front stands. It falls if it doesn't unite. See, God knows the power of unity. This is not easy to do, guys. He knew this would not be easy, but guess what he did? He gave us a ton of tools to get us through these hard places and teach us why unity is so important to the Godhead. It is for mutual comfort of both parties. Did you know that? When we walk in unity, it makes things easier on both ends. When you're bitter and mad and frustrated, and like, people don't know how to be around you, right? Have you ever been the mom, like, my mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? I've been that way. And my family just scatters. And then I'm like, that's messed up. Like, I don't want anyone to not come out of their rooms, you know, like, and they're like sneaking, are you better now, you know? And so those are not good play. Those are things I work on. What do you need to work on, right, to keep the peace? What do we need to work on in our own personal personalities that God gave us, but yet we have to mold into what he wants them to be because they're used for his purpose. They're for his glory, but we can use them in the wrong way, and it brings disunity to a family, to a situation. See, the heart of God is us dwelling together. That is the heartbeat of what God wants for his saints. We should dwell together in church fellowship. So good job. You came today. Give yourselves a hand. You're around a table. You see each other. We are making an atmosphere for you to meet new friends, to have good conversations, to be with church family, and that is a good thing. God is pleased with this. And the fellowship of one is essential for the unity of the body of Christ. See, when we are in fellowship with each other, it's essential because heaven wants to activate on our behalf. And we know that heaven wants to do that. But when your kids are fighting and at odds with each other, do you give them what they want? Well, if you do, we need to teach parenting 101. Like, that's your problem right there. Let me teach a whole nother parenting series. No, there's a consequence. You don't get away with that attitude. It's not okay for you to do this or treat each other this way, right? And until you get this right, you don't get any of the privileges that you would be afforded. I believe God looks at the church and says that too. What are you doing? You guys should know better. You have this at your hand. You have all power and all authority. You have your prayer life. You are just in the way. And you want to justify yourself and your feelings enough to keep disunity in a relationship or in family. And God is saying, stop it. Knock it off. Because I believe that when you come together, that it is a mutual blessing for both parties, for the body of Christ, and for what God wants to do across the kingdom. Because our lives speak to those that do not know Jesus. And when they see us fighting and at odds with each other, when they see us frustrated all the time and never giving grace and mercy to one another, then guess what happens? They go, well, I don't want no part in that Christianity. I don't think their God is really working. Like that's what they think. And yet God is saying, would you knock it off? You're my children. You're my heartbeat. I want this for you. I've given everything you need. So let's stay in fellowship. We possess unity. Unity brings oneness of life. It brings truth. It brings the way. It brings Jesus Christ onto the scene and in situations that are hard. Unity is a heartbeat and the breath of heaven. See, unity is, Christian unity, I love this, is good and pleasant in itself. So if you don't do anything in a situation with someone else, but yet you choose to walk in love, then guess what? God is already pleased and has goodness pouring out on you. Even if they don't respond, even if they don't see it the way that you're giving it, doesn't matter. What matters is what God sees and what God in heaven is asking you to do. So maybe you have been in a fight with your husband, and you're like, he is going to say sorry first. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get that way. Is anybody else? And yet, the Holy Spirit's like, no, now you get to say sorry first because your wrong attitude in this. And it was like, okay. But if we are shutting down the unity, we're not hearing the voice of God tell us what to do. That's going to become a chasm if we leave it alone. It's going to become deeper and a deeper well that we will fall into. And we will wonder, how did we get here? How did this get so bad? But yet God is saying, when you choose to stand in unity and love those that I've put into your life, those in the body of Christ, you know, you could be like, oh, well, I don't like that girl over at table five because I saw her in the store and she didn't even say hi to me. She probably didn't even see you. Why are you all offended about it? Like, you know, we can hold offense over things that, like, people are like, I'm still living my best life. I don't know why you're all tied up. You see, let's be in unity with each other. Let's choose to believe the best and go the distance, because I believe this is the heartbeat of God. God's pleasure is in this. A church united is good and pleasant for all of those around it. Let's turn to John 17, 20 through 23. John 17, we're going to get into the word today, girls. You didn't just come to hear me talk. I'm not here to entertain you or for you to judge me if I did good or bad on this message. I really don't care what you think. Let me tell you, I have gotten to that point. I'm good. What I do care is that you get the word. What I do care is that this digs into your heart so deep that you begin to allow the scalpel of heaven to go, ooh, we got to cut that place out. Ooh, we got to fix that a little bit. Let me reshape what your heart needs to be again. Because I believe that that's the heartbeat of heaven. John 17, 20. It says, I do not pray these things alone, but for those who will believe in me through the word. So this is Jesus talking. That they may all be two. One. He's talking. He wants us to be one is what he's saying. I love that. And as you, Father, so he's praying to God, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us. Capital U. It means they, talking about the Trinity, the Godhead, the one that came and breathed and created life, the one who came in the form of a babe and yet died on a cross 33 years later as a spotless lamb stripped open for you so your sin does not have to take you to hell so you can be free from all those things that the devil has put on you. This is the one, and he's saying, I need them to get this, that as we are, I need them to be. Don't you want your children to be in the good places of your life? There are places in our lives where, like, we hope our children never have to go down, right? But there are places that we're like, we hope our kids catch the wind of heaven, that they have a passion for the things that God has a passion for and a heartbeat for what God wants. You see, that is success in any Christian person's life. This is not just for me as a pastor or the ministers around here, because you are the full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God says that when you're called and you're walking out your purpose and you're doing what God has asked you to do, whether that's a businesswoman, whether that's a stay-home mom, whether that is, I don't know, maybe you're a teacher or you are a plumber. I have seen girl plumbers go girl. And whatever it is that you know you're walking in your lane, then you are on assignment, because you are no longer your own, but you have been bought with a price. And his name is Jesus. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he says, watch us. This is who we are. We are in one, that the world may believe that you sent me. Our unity, our united front speaks to a lost and a broken world. It says more than us even saying anything, because the world out there is dividing, is biting and devouring each other, is speaking death and perversion and, like, bondage on a whole bunch of levels. There's strongholds that are being placed. There are assignments of the enemy. There are swarms of hell that we cannot see working behind the scenes. But yet God is saying, if they could get this, the world would see us. The world would see the light and the hope of glory, which is us. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You are not your own. You have a purpose. You gathering and being together and making time to be in the house of God is a pleasure to heaven. It is a time well spent, and you will never, ever be able to, never be able to make up for what is lost. But God is saying, you're here now. Let me pour out upon you. Let me give you my spirit. Let me breathe life back into the broken places of your life. This is what God wants, because the church has to come alive again. We have to shine again. We have been biting and devouring. We have not been unified. And God is saying, enough. Because before I come back, your Maranatha. But you're not doing your part, children. Begin to link arms again. Begin to pray again for each other. Pray for your enemies. Love those that don't love you back. Be who you need to be. Stand in faith for things you don't see. Begin to use my word against the devil again. You see, God is saying this speaks volumes. It goes on. Sorry, I just get excited. I'm not screaming at you. I'm just excited about who God is. And the glory which you gave me, this is Jesus, I have given to them. Hold on, wait a second. Jesus, the one who formed heaven and earth, the one who did everything in his deity, did not have to come down from heaven to be like us. He left and gave us everything. All power, all authority, all reign. Who are you? That's who you are. The daughter of the Most High God, who handed over authority to us. And it says, I in them, this is Jesus in us, so he's speaking to believers, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one. I thought no one was perfect but God, but yes, but if he who lives on the inside of me is greater than he in the world, then guess what? I have the capacity to stretch for what is perfect in God's eyes. I have the capacity to step into something that is new. Maybe the world says nothing can be perfect, but in my God, everything is perfect. When I begin to read my word and I feed my spirit man when I'm broken, what happens? The perfect God of heaven says, come on, daughter, let's be together. Come on, let me heal those broken places. Let me step you back into some new places of anointing. Let me put you back into a unity with me that you've been missing. See, church, God is longing to be with us. Paul Billenheimer, in this book that I read, is my favorite book. I read it once a year, and I'm so grateful I did. And the people in my life are probably, they don't know this, but they should be grateful I did too. Because the book is called Love Covers. Go get it. It's a little theological in the beginning because it's talking about the fight between churches. But I'll tell you something. I read it and I'm like, it's still happening. This is sad. He wrote this how long? This is still happening. And God is saying, can we not do this? When we were in this transition, I had more than one person tell me, oh, well, so-and-so down there is your competition. So-and-so over here is your competition. I literally heard every church that was our competition. And I would just, there was something in the inside of me. You might think it might be, she's just a jerk and did it. I was like, oh, hell no. I am not listening to you. You are sent from Satan. We are this body of Christ. Like, we're supposed to be working together for the goodness of God's glory. I will not see them in my heart and in my mind as competition. And I had to go home and pray that thing off of me. And I'm telling you, when we stop thinking of them, oh, they go to that one. Listen, we can celebrate each other's differences. That's why there's other churches out there. Because one likes to dance and sing for 3 hours. And one is like, man, I got things to do. Just give me the word so I can be on my way. Like, there are many different personalities. But yet God is in his church. God is in his house because the plan of unity was not ours. It was his. And so God is saying, church, Paul Billenheimer says this, unity is the one thing that authenticates Christ's divinity and overcomes the world's unbelief. That's quite a statement. Let me reread that to you. Unity is the one thing that authenticates Christ's divinity. That's crazy right there. And overcomes the world's unbelief. That means, wow, when I get to heaven, is God going to ask me about it? Yep. Hey, why didn't you handle this the right way? You had everything. I loved you through this. I healed your heart. It reminds me of the man, the parable where he was forgiven him $1 million. And then he walks out and the guy who owes him 100, he's like, throw him in jail. God is saying, who are you to bring disunity like that? You see, God is questioning us. He's taking us to new places. Our greatest example of unity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God working and operating in three different ways, yet they all work together cohesively. One is not vying for the other one. Jesus isn't in heaven going, I wish I could be the Holy Spirit and I could just live and dwell and be with them in every... No. He's not. He knew he had to leave and bring the Holy Spirit in. He knew that his time was done and that it was time for the Holy Spirit to come and live and dwell with us in this day and in this time and in this age. You see, they work well together because they know each other's strengths and weaknesses. God knows every part of himself. He knows our needs and our wants and our desires. He knew times and places and circumstances. And so he put the perfect thing at the perfect time. He knew we were called for such a time as this. So we were going to experience life every day with the Holy Spirit on our side. That's what he knew we needed in these end times, right? So if God can get along and do unity, the Godhead, the right way, what could we learn from them? What could we learn from God and how he works and how he moves and how he breathes? Let's see. I have a few things. We're going to get into as many as I can because I know you guys want to go to your tables. What time am I supposed to be done? Now? Okay. So we're going to go to point one and then I will finish up next week, okay? Sorry. It's my first time preaching in a long time. Okay. How do we start to dwell in unity? You ready? And then I want you to put dot, dot, dot after this because we are going to get into the other two later. 1 Corinthians 1:10, go there with me. 1 Corinthians 1:10. 1 Corinthians 1:10. This is a women's Bible study, so bring your word. We're going to get into more scripture than we do in the main sanctuary. Okay, it says, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That seems impossible, right? Nowadays? We got Democrats, Republicans in this room. We got people that hate on Trump and love on Trump in this room. We got people that hate on race and love on race in this room. We got a whole bunch of ungodly crap in this room. Can I say crap in church? I just did. And let me say why. Because we're still in our flesh. And God is saying, you've got to switch over and get outside of what you identify with on earth and begin to step into what you need to identify with, and that is kingdom. You are no longer your own, but you have been bought with a price. And so your life needs to be driven by what I say, not by what the world says, what your family says, what your culture says, what your way, what you think is. We can psychoanalyze everything in our lives. And I feel like sometimes God is like, would you stop it? You're never going to figure it out because you're not in the spirit right now. You see, God wants us to step into some things. He wants us to speak the same thing. How do we do this? It goes on in the verse, and that there is no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. I thought we weren't supposed to judge each other. Well, you know, you don't judge what's of the heart. That's God's job. But you can judge the fruit of what is happening. Did you know that? Oh, yeah. You can go, oh, that vine is dried up. That's not a safe zone for me anymore. You see, Paul is addressing the people and they're arguing that is going on between them. They're arguing. They all want to be Paul's followers. Like, oh, well, Paul this. Oh, well, I'm of Paul and I'm of, and they're just like pompous about it. Nobody's ever says, well, I'm of Pastor Dan and Jess. Yeah. No. So weird. One time I heard that when the transition was going on, our staff, I'm going to be open with you guys. I was hearing, oh, Team Luke, Team Dan. I was like, in Jesus' name, I rebuke that because we are Team Dan and Luke. We love each other and you will not bring division right now. I literally had to break these things because they're demonic. And if the enemy can just get a little piece in there, he can open it up wide. And you see, God is saying, here they were fighting amongst themselves. Who was of Paul and who was of Silas? Who was, good Lord, who's of the Rock Church and who's of Sandals Church and who's of Citizens and who's of, who stinking cares? If you're called here, this is your house. And you stay until God tells you not to. Otherwise, you will come out from under the covering and you will not be protected and you will not see your full blessings. I do know that. But what I will say is this. When we bite and devour, God is not pleased with this. And that's what they were doing. So see, the church has not changed. Is that crazy? But God knew this. And so God gives us tools and says, I'm going to help you get back to where you need to be. We are living members of the body of Christ. We have a responsibility as these members to show the goodness and the pleasure of God to this broken, dark world. We have to move ourselves away from individualism, which is very easy to do now. You get on your phone. I don't have mine. But you get on your phone and you're like, I'm good. Like, oh, I saw what everybody's doing on Facebook and I'm good. So then when you get to the person, you're like, I already know about your life. How you doing? But guess what? I've been fasting. Social media, it has been the best thing I've ever done for myself. My soul is good. I'm sorry if I missed your stories. I really don't care. So when you see me, you can tell me, and then I'll be excited with you, right? Show me the cute pictures of all the things going on in your family. I want to see those, but in person. And let me tell you why. Because I want to look in your eyes. And I want to hear the tone in your voice when you say it, because you're either excited about it or you're just putting it out there for everyone to think you're okay, but you're really dying on the inside. And I care more about what's happening on the inside of your heart than I do about the fake post that you put up there about, oh, isn't life good? But maybe it's not all that good. Maybe you're dying on the inside. And yet I won't know that unless we come together and we say, can you pray for me? Can you pray? I was talking to someone this week, and I hadn't seen them a while in church. And so I reached out to them and I said, hey, how you doing? And they're like, good. I'm like, I hate asking this question, but are you still going on the rock? Like, because as pastors, we don't want to be like invading in your, it's so awkward. It's like awkward, right? And so they said, no, I actually am. I really am. But I've gotten so busy that I haven't been coming to church. And I said, well, this is not a guilty text. This is not a guilt text. I just miss you. I miss you, like, seeing you and hugging you at the back door. I miss you. And they're like, thank you. And this is what they said. How can I pray for you? And actually, something was going on. And I was like, dude, yes. Can you pray this? This is what we need right now. And they were like, yeah. So they prayed. The next day, they were like, how are you doing? Because I pray, I'm like, so much better. So good. Thank you. We saw breakthrough in this area. And it was, like, amazing. I'm not best friends with this person. I don't go to lunch with them. I don't, no, but you know what? God put them on my heart. I reached out. I contacted them. We were able to pray together on a matter, and we saw heaven show up. Who does God want us to reconnect with? What does God want us to have a conversation with? Who has hurt you that no matter what they've done to you, you still are going to love them, right? Because that's what heaven does. I mean, what if God just said, well, forget you all. You all turned your back on me and forgot. Thank God he did it. His grace and his mercy went to that cross, even though he knew we would reject him. He came for the lost and the broken. This is what heaven is talking about. We are living members of the Christ. It is our responsibility. And because of time's sake, I'm going to stop. I'm actually going to get back into this point because we have a lot more to get into. So I'm going to mark it right here so I know. And I want you guys to just kind of, that's a little taste of where God wants to take us in unity, okay?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.